Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about grief, passing on loved ones, and their spirit on the other side. Can we connect with them? Can we hear them? Do they try to interact with us? And what is the process all about? Sometimes many people say, I can't hear them. I don't know if they're there. I don't know if everything's okay. Many times fear and grief will kind of cloud that connection. And when you're able to process through that, it'll start to come about. You'll notice little things show up in your life, messages, sounds, voices, and you'll say, maybe now I can have a connection. My guest today is Paula Lenz. Her book is Driving Into Infinity, Living with My Brother's Spirit. Paula, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette, for having me on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Paula, that after sometimes when we find out that we've lost a loved one, grief, fear, anguish, shame, guilt, all of these emotions seem to just rise up and take control, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And they can certainly overtake you in many ways. When I found out about my brother's death, the day I found that out, I was completely destroyed. You have to understand that I'm the oldest in my family, as far as the siblings. I was 4 years older than my brother. I do have a sister who's 10 years younger. But my brother and I were especially close because essentially he and I shared our childhood growing up together. Mm-hmm. And as such, we used to recall many times over funny incidents and things that had happened as we were growing up, and that was just a pattern that we had, and we really right. enjoyed that.
Close connection is what really can bring you to the point where, in your book, as you've shared, about sensing when he was passing on, do you think that close connection was really a setting ground to be able to hold on?
Yes, I do, and you're referring to the precognitive dream that I
right.
had. And actually, my sister had one, too, that was 2 years prior to his passing. But, you know, I feel that his soul connection with both my sister and I, that his soul was reaching out to us in advance to somewhat, I'll say, help prepare us for, you know, the coming event.
Right.
But that close connection with him, you know, played a huge part. And he and I, our personalities, too, were a lot alike. And I just think that all of that came together in terms of his trying to reach out ahead of time to us to help
right.
prepare for that.
Don't you think that sometimes when you have that, you say, oh, I don't understand this. It kind of scares me. And you want to try to wish it away. I know sometimes when you feel something, you say, oh, that will never happen. And you try always to go around it. It's sort of like when you have a dream and it'll say the word like cancer and you'll say, oh, no way, I'm not going to have that. And you get up the next day and you're doing everything to prevent it. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
if you see an accident, it's sort of like you do everything to prevent it. You go the other way. You walk instead of drive. You take a bus. You know what I mean? In other words, you try to recreate something so that moment doesn't show up. Don't you think sometimes when that happens, you say, how can I change it now in the moment?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, for example, as I mentioned, my sister's precognitive dream was 2 years before. And, you know, she at first was quite frightened by that and
right.
was trying to figure out the timing and all of that. But then she just eventually, nothing happened, and she just blew it
mm-hmm.
off. And you know, really, I didn't know from the dream that I had, I didn't know who it was referencing or the specifics in terms of that this was about my brother.
Mm.
It was trying to prepare me for the feelings and the circumstances
right.
that, you know, I was going to be in when I found out what had happened. But I do think you're right in terms of, you know, we're always trying to head off at the pass, I guess.
Right.
Any actuality from whether it's intuitive notions or dreams or just, you know, again, like thoughts or information that'll pop into your head. I mean, being as intuitive and really sometimes psychic as I am from time to time as kind of an after effect of my experience with my brother in Infinity, you know, I still do that to some degree. I'll get some information and I'll just think, well, we'll see about that.
Right, right.
I think that's human nature
mm-hmm.
sometimes. But as you grow into becoming more accustomed to having such intuition or information being given to you, I think that you do learn to trust in that more as time goes on.
Right. I think a lot of times when people start to have this, they say, oh, no, I don't understand it. Get out of my way. And a lot of the old, you know, I'm sure you've heard of these in the past, is if you don't think about it, it won't happen. In other words, if you don't bring it into your reality, it won't show up. Well, not so when you're a psychic intuitive. Is really, it's because you have a sense of it and you understand it's an option out there. In other words, there's always potential out there for things to happen, but then it's up to the soul to decide what their choice is. Don't you
yes.
think?
Yes, I do agree with that. And, you know, that is part of what makes our lives, I'll say, interesting, but it's part of the free will aspect of coming into this life and, you know, becoming aware of how powerful we are, how our consciousness is so powerful. And we are able to, through our consciousness, create our reality. And we need to be, you know, cognitive of that, conscious of that at all times. And,
right.
you know, I talk about in my mind, I like to point toward the idea of having conscientious consciousness,
mm-hmm.
being aware of, in terms of messages that come to us, but, you know, consciousness is the quality or state of being aware, especially of something within oneself, knowledge of one's own existence. And conscientious is, you know, being careful, particular, diligent, industrious in terms of being aware that we have this powerful consciousness available to us. And
right.
that is something that I believe really most people just live their lives almost in an unconscious state of being.
Mm-hmm.
Just each and every day comes along, we do our jobs, you know, we plan our personal lives, but there's not as much attention paid to the fact that we can use our consciousness to think about and bring into our lives the kinds of things that we want to have, the kinds of events, and just the kind of life we want to live.
Right. Can we talk for a second, Paula, about when someone you are very consciously connected to, very much intertwined with, and they pass on, I know this for myself, it's almost as if when you're consciously connected to someone, and it's almost as if they are a part of your energy source or self, and it's kind of like an overlay or something. And then when they pass on, you almost feel, it's almost like your energy has been dismembered. It's sort of like they pulled apart something from you, and you thought that it would, you know, you feel like you're broken, like you lost a piece of you because they were so enmeshed apart on top of you. Don't you think that sometimes when loved ones pass, that's a sense that many times people get that. They say, oh, a part of me has left. Don't you think?
Yes, I do. And that is essentially the way that I felt with, you know, my brother moving on.
Right.
Because, as I said before, growing up together, experiencing our childhood experiences and being able to laugh about that. And the other side of that is that my brother really was the center of our family dynamics because he was funny. And, you know, every time we ever got together, he always became the center of, you know, what was going on because he would entertain us, I'll put it that way.
Right,
right. So many different aspects of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it was not only did I lose that part of me. I mean, there's no one else in my life that I will ever be able to share to the extent, you know, those childhood funny times, because mm-hmm. he and I would relive those all the time and talk about them and laugh. You know, there's never going to be anyone who has that same sense of what happened. And I think for our whole family, you know, everybody in our family, I believe, had that sense of what you're talking about, that
right,
Donnie
right.
was so much a part of each of who we were and our family dynamics that we were all just crippled by this. And I really feel, you know, crippled is a good word.
Right.
It's like part of you's been cut off. And, okay, how do I maneuver now through life? How
mm-hmm.
do I do this?
It's right. Like, it's just like dismembering, you know. It takes up a chunk out of you, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think, Paula, that how you're able to recover from that? What I think that many a times people will say, just as you shared, that's really about a time when more your soul becomes awakened. And when that happens, I think you start to realize that you aren't part of that physical space, that you truly are a soul. So, I mean, because once you came to that soul piece, that's when you were able to interact with his soul. Don't you think that that's a spot that you come to?
Yes, I do believe that. Now, you know, in my instance, I was able to have an actual out-of-body experience with his soul, you know,
right.
not too long after he had crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that helped me, even though it took a long time to integrate all of
mm-hmm.
that experience. But being with him in that state of being, that consciousness level of being in infinity, being aware that, you know, this wasn't about being in body anymore. This was about being a part of the universe and the oneness and the realization that, you know, he's always going to be a part of us here, and we can still, you know, be a part of Him because we are all oneness.
Right, and that's the difference.
That
right there, what you said was the difference, because when you're in that other plane, it is all the part of oneness. It's when the human part, we think that we are just contained within this body ourselves. Don't you think that's separation?
Exactly. And so for me, experiencing that and being in that oneness, you know, not only with what I call spirit, but everything and everyone, everything in the universe. And
right.
So we are all still able to be a part of people who have moved on.
Right.
Even though so many times, as you say, being in the human form,
yeah.
our consciousness being contained, you know, within that form here,
mm-hmm.
we naturally feel separated from that person because, of course, you know, we can't see them in body anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my brother continues to reach out to me in these ways that he does, just really to even continue to prove that idea. You know, it's
right.
easy, even
right.
with the experience I had with him in infinity and, you know, about it being consciousness and that connection, it's easy to fall back into that idea when you're in the day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I sometimes think that he does these things, whether they're funny or he's warning me about something. I think it's another way that he, you know, kind of pulls me up to that idea again that, hey, you know, we're all still around here. We're still here. I'm letting you know about this or whatever. And it's just a reminder that our loved ones are still around us. I mean, they may not be here on this plane, they're, you know, elsewhere, but they're really everywhere in terms of, again, that idea of oneness.
Right.
There's just no separation, even though people
right.
feel like that in body here.
Yeah, I think when we're able to shed the human clothing, so to speak, then we will also be able to integrate into that space. And then see how much bigger and how vast it all is. You know, we get so limited by the human existence and the experience that we kind of have to play the job and play the part of, you know, putting food on the table, going to work, washing your clothes kind of idea, you know. And sometimes, I mean, I've said this to others and they're like, oh, my goodness. It's like I almost feel that sometimes that's so mundane. It's sort of like, do I really have to do that? Because there's so much more. And I think, don't you think when you once you have that experience, you say, that other stuff just does not faze me. It doesn't faze me. It's sort of like I could probably wear the same outfit every single day for an entire year and I would never notice. You know what I mean? Or I could eat the same thing every single day for a year and never notice. Because sometimes when we understand the vastness of everything, it seems to be, it's almost like you're living in this glory of your thoughts and of the universe versus worrying about the day-to-day. Did you ever have that feeling?
Yes, I do. You know, when I, yeah, and it just feels so hard all the time in so many ways.
Yeah, it feels like, it's sort of like, it's so, when I go to the grocery store, it's sort of like, I can't breathe. I can't be in here. I'm sensing somebody's energy. It's time to go. It's too hard. It's too sharp. Even when I referenced another place that I used to live, I said the land was so hard itself. And I think once you get into that other sense in space, don't you think it's light, it's easy, it's flowing, it's you can breathe cool air all the time, right?
Yes, and, you know, when I, of course, I talk about in my book, too, I mentioned this meld into spirit technique
uh-huh.
that I use, wherein, you know, when I go walking or go bike riding, you know, I've always been a person who's liked to have time by themselves. You know, even though I'm a very extroverted person,
mm-hmm.
I've, you know, all the positions I've held in my business career have called for that, you know, to be mm-hmm. extroverted, and I do enjoy that. But there is a side of me that I've always had, even when I was very young. I always enjoyed going bike riding by myself or walking by myself, and I still do that. And now when I do that, I practice, you know, doing the meld into spirit, whereby I just imagine the edges of my body just melting into
right.
the universe at large.
Right, right.
And it's like heaving a big sigh of relief.
It's almost like you can't find words for it, isn't it?
Yes, it's freeing, and you're able to connect and be in that sense again of, as you say, that vastness
right.
and that connection with all that is. And it's very hard to describe in words to people what that feeling is.
Right.
You know, the experience I described that I had with my brother, the words that I used eventually and put into the book, it was so difficult to achieve with words any true sense of what the experience was like because of
mm-hmm.
the vastness and that
mm-hmm.
oneness idea. It's very
right.
hard, I feel, as my own viewpoint. I feel
right.
that it's so hard being in the body here to feel like you're continuously connected in that, you know, space of freedom.
Right.
I feel like you have to take moments to really reconnect with that. But in those moments, you know, when my heart chakra lights up, I feel it becoming warm, and that I'm really melting into the universe, it's just a feeling that can't be described. It's freedom, it's wholeness, you're not fearful, you're in that space of love, and it would be great, you know, if you could just feel that at all times, all moments, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that being in a human body that we are capable, I'll put it that way, of being in that state at all times.
Right.
But you can certainly reconnect with that and strive to connect with that in times. But it is unlike any feeling here on Earth that you can ever truly help somebody else know what that is like, because we don't have that frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's really the soul and the spirit's journey that we're talking about. And when you have the human part, it's almost like I call putting on the cloak, and you have to carry it because otherwise other people won't recognize you. So if we were always walking around in spirit form, if the other humans aren't quite at the level we're at, they kind of get kind of confused, you know. So you and I would totally understand that, because I see spirits all the time, in a sense. And I'm sure you do too. And once you have that, you're sort of like, I mean, one time I had someone do a reading for me, and they said, gosh, Jeanette, you're always talking to spirits. And I'm like, yes, I am, you know.
Right.
And I truly do live more in that other space. And I love what you said about your technique, about melting the edges. What I've found sometimes when I get into a place like Walmart or a store or something like that, and I start to feel all of that other stuff going on, I say, be transparent.
Yeah.
Be invisible. And when I do that, what happens is I end up stepping out of my humanness to feel the other humans, and I just kind of float along to go into the store. And what it does is it just keeps my soul protected. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Do you ever find that once you're an open person, once you're able to sense energies of your own or others, you find that there's so many, like, knocks on the door trying to wait to come in to air. They kind of like bump into you all the time, you know?
Yes.
So when I'm invisible or transparent, they don't do that. Do you ever find that once you notice that?
Yes, and it's so true. Once you have these kind of experiences,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you're living back in human form for the rest of your life here, that sensitivity to other people's energies certainly
right.
does, and it can come through. And
right.
I think it does even at moments when I think it isn't.
That yes.
other people's uh-huh. energies are always somewhat coming through to you no matter what. But
mm-hmm.
I try to remember to, through a prayer of protection, you know, ask for a light of protection to be around me each day and to, you know, help, I guess, help to some degree keep some of that energetic noise coming in. Now, granted,
mm-hmm.
there are times, which I even talk about in the book, how in the world of business, you know, I on purpose would remain much more quiet and when I was meeting someone new
right.
because I wanted to be able to let them be coming through to me in terms of their real energy.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really? Yeah, because I could ascertain whether or not this was a person I felt like I could trust and who was telling me the truth, or it was someone who had a lot of hang-ups and, you know, they were just trying to bluster their way through life or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And that was
yeah.
something that was helpful to me in the world of business. And certainly it can still be even in terms of, you know, social activities as well.
Right.
But, yes, that sense of energy, other people's energies around you, you know, you always have to be cognizant of what's happening in relation to that as far as the impact to you.
Do you think that, Paula, after your brother, do you think that after your brother had passed and you started to feel and notice things going on in your home and, like you said, about the pictures being turned, or can you also feel his energy there? And sometimes when you pass through it, and it's almost as if it's a cold breeze or a warm touch. You know, I think sometimes people say, I didn't really pay attention. And what you and I are saying today is pay attention, you know. Here's an example of that. I had gone to the Trader Joe's one day, and I was standing there waiting for these two women to stop talking so I could get some lettuce on the other side of them. And eventually I just said, excuse me, and I walked between them to get the lettuce. The minute I walked between them, it was like my head almost bounced back. I almost felt this energy thing. And I could not go on to the store. I had to leave because I had walked between their energy field. You know? Yeah, it was like whatever they were going on or whatever was going on there, I had walked between it. Don't you think that to notice different types of energy feelings is really when we want to start to connect with others? Did you sense any of those?
Yes, and, you know, you're talking about, well, for example, my brother's energy.
Right.
I can remember in my house in Sugar Land, one evening I was washing my hair in the kitchen. I didn't want to have to go in there and wait till, you know, I was in the shower or whatever. So I was washing my hair in the kitchen there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was doing that, now this was during the time when my husband at that time was living in California on a work assignment. So I was alone in the house. But as I was washing my hair, literally I felt his energy, that he was standing there.
Ah, yes.
And I actually stopped with the hair deal.
Mm-hmm.
I raised up. I looked over to where I felt he was standing. He wasn't right there, you know, right shoulder to shoulder or anything. He was
mm-hmm.
a little bit a ways in the room. And I just said, I know that you're here. I feel you. Right. And so, you know, I would have times like that when I knew that he was there. And just like when I talked about, you know, when I went up to my dad's house when, you know, after we found out about his passing, and the next day a lot of people were coming to my dad's house, and I was sitting in the chair, and I was just, you know, almost like weeping, it just nonstop. But as I was sitting there,
mm-hmm.
for the first, this, and this was before I had the out-of-body experience with him, but I knew, I could see in my mind's eye that he was up in the right-hand corner of the room above me.
Right.
And he was focusing his attention on me. And I actually looked up at that corner of the room, and in my mind, I was just asking him why.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe sometimes I think to myself, maybe at that juncture it was, the decision was made that he would come back to me and take me into infinity, because that was, you know, that was like the next day after he had passed over.
Mm-hmm.
I just, and already, you know, I was feeling him and knowing that he was there. I knew that he was there. You can never convince me that he wasn't in that upper corner there.
Right, right.
And perhaps he just felt so much the deep grief that, you know,
right.
the decision was made to, for me to have that experience that I had with him.
Right.
But so, yeah, I mean, that was just the beginning of sensing energy. And, you know, that's, you know, on a much larger scale, you know, that's continued through, you know, the rest of my life.
Right.
And
you know,
there are advantages to that. At times there are not advantages, but
right.
advantages to sensing somebody's energy and where they're coming from.
Don't you think sometimes you say, I need a break, I need to close the doors, and I'm sorry, y'all are just going to have to line up. And almost I could close my eyes, and I have a sense that there's a line waiting at the door. And, you know, and even when I go to sleep that night, sometimes I do that at night, and my husband says to me, he says, I heard two knocks on the door. I got up last night to see who was out there, and there was nobody there.
And, but they are there.
that's right, yeah. And it was just so interesting. Usually when I say I'm closing the door is when that night that he'll hear the knocks. Otherwise, they pretty much filter through all the time. And it's just kind of so interesting to be able to understand and have spiritual and spirit experiences while still being in the human form, don't you think?
Yes, very much so. Now, as far as, you know, as you say, trying to get away from all of that sensing of everything,
mm-hmm.
for me, I have always loved being in the great outdoors. You know, I've been bike riding since I was 7 years old, and I'm 65 years old, and I still bike ride, and I probably will be bike riding till I'm 90 or older, and, you know, till I leave this earth.
Right.
I love getting outside, especially on my bike by myself, and just riding wherever, or going hiking somewhere, but even just going out and taking a walk by myself. I absolutely have a need for my own space, and the easiest way to sort of clear away the cobweb, so to speak, or any, you know, of the energies, is to be outside in nature. It just
right.
seems to clear it all away, all of that, and then I'm able, in fact, many times, when I'm out walking around a park or something by myself, I mean, I've had this happen many times, that's when I get visions that come through or things being told to me that are coming up. And
mm-hmm.
I think that just contributes to the fact that, you know, I'm in a space where I'm not constantly around other people's energies.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's so much easier when it's sort of been swept away, almost like clean, your own aura and your own energy is kind of cleared by the nature around you, that it's so much easier to suddenly have these visions or information, or even to, if I'm wanting to bring things into my life, you know, putting those out there to spirit when I'm in that state, that's how I really love to connect. And, you know, other people are more comfortable sitting in a chair or something, closing their eyes and connecting. But for me, it seems to happen more easily when I'm out in nature, just because I've always loved being outdoors.
Right. You know, the funniest thing is, a lot of times I would go to study at the library, where I would, people would say, oh, go to right at the library. You know, that's a good place. That's a good place. And it finally got to the point where I couldn't set my foot in a library, because when I got in there, it was almost like I went into this trance state.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, are all you books talking to me? What is the deal? You know, I mean, it's the funniest thing is because I just went in and I would be like, sitting there with my, you know, chin on my hand and kind of just saying, oh, okay. And I would, I mean, hours would pass by and I would get zero done. And it just got to the point, I think, sometimes when we say, where are the energies? What are they nestled in? And how can we connect with them? I mean, even in books, in words, you know, on the pages in a library, just as well as you said in nature, in the trees and in the flowers, or others with people that they're around all the time, or speaking to large groups or whatever. These are all different forms of connections, and it's just how we're being able to foster them. I know for myself, the library doesn't work. I don't go in there ever again. But, you know, but my favorite place to walk is in a cemetery. You know, I've done that probably since I can remember being 2 years old. We had a cemetery next door, and I used to go in the grass and lay down next to the tombstones. So I think that when we say, well, that kind of doesn't work for me, fantastic. Go find something else, you know, don't you think?
Yes, and I just think each person has to figure out what is that place or space where you can really connect with yourself and with the universe without the cluttering of other energies or thoughts or whatever. But, you know, that is different for each person.
Yes.
And, but you do, you know, have to take time to, I think, be cognizant of that. And I don't, you know, most people just don't take that kind of time in this life to even realize how important it can be to just have your own space, your own, I'll say, alone time, to let your own thoughts and visions and connections come through without all the hubbub of everything around you and what needs to get done and that kind of thing. I just don't feel like people naturally make time to connect like that. I think if they did, I think that, you know, people would, I think that mankind, let's put it that way, as a whole, would be so much more elevated in terms of their consciousness and awareness about what else, how else you can operate in this life besides just feeling like you're just at the whim of life itself versus putting out there the things that you want to create or bring into your life.
Right.
And, you know, and that even gives people a sense of their own empowerment. And after all, isn't a lot of what the world's troubles are about is the feeling of the lack of empowerment that a person has? Just think if everybody connected with their sense of their own power and their consciousness, think how different things could look on the earth as it is.
Right. Let's talk in closing, Paula, about when you do sense a spirit or an energy next to you and you know it's a loved one, and you say, oh, hi, how are you? You know, or you might be voicing a connection or a word or a thought or a feeling. We all know the mental health angle on this. Do we walk around the house talking to spirits out loud? I know for myself, sometimes when I'm by myself, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, and I could stand in the kitchen, someone says, hey, hi, you know, and I'm like, hey, hi, okay. And my husband says, who are you talking to? And it's sort of like, well, let it go. Well, just let it go. And I think the idea of do spirits always need to hear a, quote, voice in human form, or can they also connect on a telepathic kind of idea or on an energetic kind of space? And the answer is yes. But also, too, I think when you first start learning when your loved one has passed and you want to connect with them, if you need to verbalize, the answer is go right ahead, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And there have been times when I do say things out loud to him, like, I know you're here. I
mean, right.
Even now, and sometimes when things happen, because this happened not very long ago, these couple of pictures in a bookcase here in my office, I was busy reading some stuff on the internet, so my shoulder was actually facing the bookcase, and it was all quiet, and I was deep in thought over here, and suddenly these two pictures fell down. One came flying out of the bookcase, the other just fell, and I jumped out of the seat, and I got up, and I walked over to the bookcase, and I said, I know you're here, Donnie.
Right.
And I think he just does that, too. I'll say, just pull a trick on me.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you know, I'm here or whatever. But, you know, right. Things do happen.
Yes. And I think that's also, too, is to be okay with it. So many times people want to sedate it, give a diagnosis, find a treatment, or shut it off. And I think if you're okay and you feel supported enough, it's to be able to be free and open with those experiences, yes?
Yes, and, you know, of course I have to comment that, you know, this part of my life I did not reveal until the book came out in 2017. And all these experiences I had from the very beginning, it took me a long time before I even told just a couple of my closest friends ever knew about any of these things.
Right,
that happened to me. Until such time as I decided to write about it because I wanted to help other people who were, you know, who had experienced these tragic moments and times and losses of people, so they could get, you know, a different idea about how things operate. But you know, it's okay, and it's always been okay in my mind to know that these things were happening, and, you know, eventually I was accepting of them because I understood what was happening. But it's even more freeing when you can openly talk to people about these things happening and claim it as, this is part of my life.
Right,
and
right.
When that came out, you know, the story, when I finally decided to reveal all of that, for the first time in my life, I was able to feel completely, totally authentic because I could now openly claim this side of my life to people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was just so freeing. And I just figured, you know, people are going to think whatever they want to think. And I want people to understand this is what I know, this is my reality, and, you know, if you don't accept that, well, that's fine too. But for me, this is how it is. These are the things that I know. And putting that out there and claiming that for my own has just made such a difference for me in terms of claiming the wholeness of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I feel it's totally okay to, you know, recognize and do these things.
Right, because guilt, shame, and fear is the human existence. Truth, awareness, and consciousness is a spiritual existence. So, you know, eventually you can bounce back and forth in all of those. However, you will want to be able to weigh into one side or the other that feels better for you at the moment. So I think once you're able to start sharing things, you say, you know what, it just plain feels better over here. And you're just saying, I want more of this. And when you want more of that starts to show up, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's hard for me to describe the experience of revealing all this to people. And probably for myself, the most dramatic sense of that was I had gone, my book actually was coming out like in about a week or two when I went to the International Association for Near-Death Studies conference that year. A friend of mine and I had signed up to go to one of the sessions. And so that was the first time I had gone to one of their conferences. And when we got there, as it turns out, they have what's called an experiencer's lounge there. And throughout the conference, people can go in there, you know, get something to drink, and they can share their stories in there. And, of course, the whole conference is about these kinds of experiences related to consciousness or, you know, getting in touch with loved ones or whatever.
Right.
But being there that day at that conference was the first time I had ever been among this huge group of people who totally accepted the idea of all these kinds of things happening. And a lot of people there had experienced different things. You know, I was an experiencer, and people were just naturally sharing their stories. I had never been in a situation like that in my whole life since all this had happened. And I have to tell you that day, I felt giddy. I just felt like I had never felt before. And I'll never forget that day, that feeling. Just knowing that suddenly I was among people who got where I was coming from and believed it. And it was no big deal. You know, of course they believed it. It was an amazing feeling. Just amazing.
Right, because it's someone who wants to listen to your soul speaking, and that's what you were doing. You were soul speaking, and they were listening intuitively. And I think sometimes, you know, as humans, I know this happens to me quite often. I'll be speaking with someone, and all of a sudden I'll notice little things, and I'll say, they're not listening. I'll hear a paper rustle, or I'll hear their extra cell phone ring, or I will sense that they've walked away from the phone or whatever, and I'll go, they're not listening. And then I just disconnect. And I think that's many times people will say, it just feels so good when you have that experience when a soul can hear you, that you just, it just truly lightens up you. It almost like it lightens up every part of your being, don't you think?
It does. I just felt unlike I had ever felt before.
Right, like your physical body feels different, too. It's like you almost feel like you're walking on air kind of idea, right?
I absolutely did feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was floating through this magnificent experience of wholeness. It was just, I don't know, that was just a day that I could never probably recreate because it was just the whole newness of it. But also, as you say, it just was lighting up who I was.
Right.
With the acceptance and everything. And it was a physical thing in addition to, you know, just interacting with people and talking with people.
Yeah, it feels so cool. Well, Well, Paula, it was such a pleasure to have you to speak with us today, because I think a lot of these experiences, just as you said, people are so afraid to speak about them. And it's always been commonplace to me. I've even noticed people would say to me, oh, you're this. And I'll say, I don't know. I thought everybody could do that. I thought everybody could talk to each other. I thought everybody spoke to their loved one when they passed over. And I thought everybody saw angels and dark figures. It's just common to me. So I think when we say that people are holding those stories inside, what you and I are sharing today is about being free to share them, because a lot of us have had them. And we're happy to talk to you about them so that you can feel that lightness light up your whole being, just as you and I shared, yes?
Yes, and you know, I feel that I'm contributing that aspect to other people's lives when I, you know, do these talks.
Right.
And presentations, because at some of those talks that I've been to, which are some of them have been, you know, smaller gatherings, and inevitably people want to come up and talk to me afterwards, you know, some people. And I know that these people, they start sharing with me, for example, a contact by a loved one who, you know, has already crossed over. And they'll tell me, oh, you know, I woke up because someone was tugging at my arm. And
yeah.
I woke up and it was my wife who had already passed on. And I know that they've never told anybody that story.
Mm-hmm.
And telling me because now they feel safe to do that. That
right.
is such an important role to play in terms of helping people.
Yeah.
And it's just all worth it for me to share.
Absolutely. Well, we do that on this show all the time. So we were so happy to have you today. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and your work? That would be wonderful.
Well, my book, Driving into Infinity, Living with My Brother's Spirit, it is available online via Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through Balboa Press, which is a division of Hay House. And I have to say that I was delighted to find out that the Unity Village, their bookstore is actually carrying the book there, because one of my friends was there and bought the book recently. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But
yeah.
So my book is not normally in bookstores. It's to be, you know, ordered. But
right.
I do have a website, and the address is paulalinds.wixsite.com/PaulaLinds. It's kind of a long address, but you can find me on the web. My site does include additional, you know, background information, and there's a blog there, and there's included an email address or a form there you can fill out if you want to contact me by email.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Paul. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, Dr. Jeanette, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and thank you again for inviting me to your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Paula Lenz and her book, Driving into Infinity, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And it truly is about finding someone as an advocate that's able to listen to you, hear your soul, and hear your spirit speaking. If you'd like support, guidance, or want to just talk and be able to say, I don't know where I am, how can I get started, and how can I bring forth all of this that I've been holding on to because my soul wants to speak, I offer many sessions. Click on my website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. And please, don't hold them inside of you. Find someone to share them with. Your soul and your spirit really wants to speak. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.